America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Actually, not John Lopez. We got Luke Morrow hanging in in studio on the show today. There we go. You would think I could talk considering the job that I do. I'm Reginald Adetula. That's Figgy Fig hanging out with you. We were just talking about our favorite broadcasters, and somebody was like, from the 832, how did you guys not mention Gene Peterson, voice of the Rockets for decades, voice of the back-to-back championship for the Rockets. Yeah, absolutely one of those. 254. All right, so I just want to make sure. This text says Art Briles, and I have a feeling that we're not going broadcast there. We're going to football lawsuit, class action lawsuit.
I was
going to
say. Art Briles on there.
Yeah, I'm okay with putting him on there for sure. I know that he did a lot of good things offensive, like offensive schematics-wise, but hey, man, lack of institutional control at Baylor where you have so many players get hurt, yeah, that ends up being a situation where I'm willing to put you on our running football class action lawsuit against all the people in football that have harmed us, the general football-watching public. But all right, here, let's go around the NFL and dig into the things that happened, including Monday Night Football that happened, or Monday Night, goodness gracious, Thursday Night Football. What day is it? Is it Football Friday? All right, man. 24-3 was the score in favor of the Jets. Jacoby Brissett looked like the Jacoby Brissett that sometimes I forget he is, which is, hey, man, he can manage an offense, but don't expect him to actually,
throw the ball downfield.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, just from a degenerate perspective, he was plus 750 to have 100 passing yards in each half. So 200 passing yards plus 750. He didn't get there.
Yeah, he had 98 total passing yards.
Man. And unbelievable.
They ultimately bring in Drake May, and this was the thing that I found interesting on the Patriots side of things. When it came to this quarterback battle, this is one of those ones you're watching, especially because the rookie class and Drake May being taken. I was when they decided to go with Jacoby Brissett, I figured that the decision was largely because this Patriots team feels like it's a year away from getting to somewhere where they can really do anything of real interest and note. And so I thought this was a decision to protect Drake May, right? There's a lot of conversations about, should you start a rookie quarterback immediately? Should they wait?
And it the felt whole like, line, too, is
exactly,
bad.
Exactly. It felt like a situation where the offensive line, you did not have enough talent in there, so they were like, hey, there's no need to put him out there. And Texans fans know specifically about the idea of putting a quarterback behind a bad offensive line, what that can possibly do to a dude who has good prospects. And so I thought that that might be the answer with Drake May. But putting him in late in the game in the way that they did after Jacoby Brissett felt like, oh, I don't know if they're really trying to protect him. Maybe they just don't think he's as good as Jacoby Brissett, which is not a good thing to say.
No, for sure. But also what happens with that is he goes out there for one possession. It's a blowout game. It's one possession, but you know, he did some okay things, and now you start that drama after watching Brissett play as poorly as he did for 3.5 quarters. You got Patriots fans talking today like, hey, let's make that quarterback change so I don't have to watch Brissett anymore. So you kind of start that by throwing him in there and getting even a glimpse of him. You start that quarterback drama now of like, hey, why isn't May playing? So we don't have to watch this guy, you know, throw for 98 yards.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that continues to go. Yeah, but the Patriots just, I thought the Patriots had a possibility of keeping this thing relatively close. Nope.
Too.
And part of the reason why they weren't, Aaron Rodgers looked like he was turning back the clock a little bit in his capabilities. I know that earlier this week he was kind of talking about the idea of not needing to be the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, in those FU MVP years, as I like to call them, when we were like, oh, he might be turning down. He was like, watch this. This felt like another instance of watch this coming off of the injury that he had, the Achilles injury that he had last season that kept him out of all those games. I mean, 27 to 35, 280 yards, couple touchdowns, and he was doing it in a way that looked pretty good, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For sure. In short week, 40-year-old quarterback playing his third game in 10 days against a pretty solid defense. So that was a good, you know, that's as a Jets fan, that's what you wanted to see last night. And I know it's kind of apples to oranges, but if I could kick dirt a little bit on a former quarterback from these parts that I think people like to do so, Aaron Rodgers, 40 years old, did not play in a year. He looked pretty good last night. Deshaun Watson, much younger. You know, when he took that year off, he hasn't been the same quarterback since. So that was almost my biggest takeaway from that game last night was Rodgers looks pretty good. And then what's Watson's excuse in Cleveland because he's been so poor since missing that time. But I was impressed by Rodgers looking as good as he did last night, third game back from the injury.
It really feels like when it comes to quarterbacking, confidence matters such a good deal. And that is something that Aaron Rodgers is never lacking for, even if the body is kind of starting to deteriorate on him. And he doesn't have the same level of mobility, although he tried to show a little bit of that during the course of this game last night. But the confidence is there and the knowledge is there. Well, with Deshaun Watson, you know, he obviously, it's the physical ability and those things. The mental acumen of the football side of this, I don't know, is like nearly the same as Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know where that lands on the spectrum. I think the big thing is you've isolated a lot of variables. It's not injury. It's not all these things. It feels like a lot of this is just in his head. And I feel like some of that is because of the scandals that he's dealing with, rightfully so, the scandals, mind you. But now he's in a place where he is not beloved like I think he wants to be. And it seems to be getting to him and his confidence and ability to go out there and execute. And so now the Browns offense is exclusively built upon can you scamper, which I don't think you should build an offense on if you're a quarterback and run. Not even just in the ways of like a design run, but can he just go and find something? I don't know. I don't think found money offense is the way to go about things. But speaking of confidence, it feels like that also might be an issue in Carolina, or might have been one of the issues in Carolina that led to your guy Bryce Young being benched in favor of Andy Dalton just two games into his second season. In fact, Bryce Young was actually asked about this after what was it? Dave Canales yesterday was saying that he looked great on the scout team. So he was asked if he was given enough time by the Panthers before they benched him.
I don't think that's up for me to decide. Again, I had, you know, there's a lot of plays that, you know, for last year in these first two games, every snap hit my hands, and I didn't do enough with it at the end of the day. I take accountability for that. There's plays, there's stuff, there's long list of things that, you know, I wish I was better at, and I'm going to continue to work to grow and improve on and be better at. So I'm always going to look in the mirror. Circumstances are what they are for not just me, but for everyone. Everyone's dealing with something. Everyone has circumstances. If I went out there and played better and we won games, at the end of the day, that falls on me that didn't happen, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. So, right now I am where I am, and all I can do is try to be better each and every day.
That 60-second snippet, however long that was, that's the most impressive thing Bryce Young has done in his career.
How did you manage to make that a slight loop?
Because that was great. He handled that well, but that's the first good thing he's done in a Panthers uniform.
Yeah, and for all the folks that have been making a lot of jokes at his expense when it comes to him, I don't know, looking like a teenager or whatever, being small, you know, having, fidgety tendencies. Like, I do think that probably helps in seeing. There's a level of maturity within Bryce Young. It kind of makes me a little sad that, hey, man, it's not coming together for him. But, no, there's clearly going to be some barriers for a quarterback of not just that height, but also that size, right? We've seen dudes that are relatively short, but within that, Drew Brees had just like great awareness and ability to find space within that offensive line to get the ball down the field. Russell Wilson had the stoutness to be able to help him and the mobility to get out and find angles when he could not see over the line. You're dealing with a Bryce Young that did not have all those things. The superpower that he has is processing, and without confidence, that processing gets knocked down. If you don't have some level of thing that makes you above average in the NFL with that height, it's a tough thing to do. And so I think until you can get that confidence back up for him, I don't know that he'll be able to do anything right now.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what you said, confidence. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, I think back to when Tua was getting benched by Brian Flores, and he would start a game, and then when it was a close game in the fourth quarter, he'd bench him for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And it's like, well, you know, how do you expect him to go out the next week? That doesn't really give him much confidence. And same now, Bryce Young, new coach comes in. They sell it as, hey, Canales turned around Baker Mayfield. He helped turn around Geno.
That's he's right, quarterback whisperer, Dave Canales.
And then 2 games in, you're like, actually, you know what? We're shutting down this whole experiment. We're going to the other guy. So I think it's shot with this group of guys in Carolina for Bryce Young. If you want to send them somewhere else, I think maybe somebody else could try to restore him, like Sam Darnold after he left Carolina, like Baker Mayfield after he left Carolina. But I think for Bryce Young in Carolina, he's never going to be that guy with the Panthers.
Wow. There you go. All right, Luke is going ahead and putting the stamp on it. He's cooked in those towns. And now they turn to Andy Dalton. Did you see the hype video that the Panthers put out on social media? I think it was 16 seconds of fantastic, incredible passes to Adam Thielen for what was looked like maybe like 15, 16 yards.
Yeah. Andy Dalton hype video, it sounds like an oxymoron.
Oh, wow. Don't do that. He had some hype video times. Don't forget when he was fully, Red Rifle is what we call him, out of Katy, and then going into through TCU and then going into Cincy and actually taking them to the playoffs consistently. Hey, don't ask me what he did in the playoffs, but he took him to the playoffs.
I used to love playing with TCU in the NCAA football game when Dalton was there. So I was a Dalton guy coming out of college.
You hear that? But. You hear that? That roundabout way of calling him old, like way back when he actually had ESPN.
Back in the day.
Yeah. All right. So we got a little news on Azeez Al-Shaair. Nothing. Don't. Get scared. Nothing for his availability or anything. However, he does officially get fined $11,000 for that punch that he had in the scuffle on the sideline on Sunday Night Football. Are you surprised at this being the response? There was no additional penalties or anything for what was pretty clearly a punch. I guess it did not escalate into like a full-blown fight. Like, what was your reaction to seeing that it was $11,000 and we'll call it square?
Yeah, I think it's best case scenario. I mean, no ejection that night. You don't get any sort of suspension, and $11,000, especially with the contract he signed, like, you know, it's nothing. It's a little slap on the wrist and you move forward. So I was surprised. And as a Texans fan, or certainly for him, I'd be pleased. I think that's the best case scenario of the outcome.
100%. And I mean, again, it falls within the kind of physicality and like aggressive, defense that it seems like this team has cultivated. But D'Amico Ryans has said it. They want to make sure that they are within on the right side of that line. And so it's cool that he gets away with that. You hope that does not continue. And of course, D'Amico did defend his guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, look, man, things happen on that sideline, whatever, but we don't want to get to that line. Apparently, the standard fine for a first offense of striking an opponent is $11,800 and some change. So we're right in that range. So good things for Azeez Al-Shaair that, unfortunately, a little bit of money out, but everything is going to stay. He stayed in that game. He'll play in this game against Minnesota. So that's good news in my estimation.
Was that your expectation as well? Did you think there'd be any sort of worse punishment?
I don't know, man. I try not to purport to know what the NFL is going to do. They seem to have, after, you know, years back when Roger Goodell came in being the law and order commissioner, they seem to have fully shifted to a place where they are pretty allowable. You know, they have a lot of allowance within this space, as long as we don't get ourselves into a bad way. And maybe that's Roger Goodell learning his lesson on, hey, the game is about these players on the field, so you want to make sure you have your best players on the field unless you absolutely need to take them off, which is good in circumstances like this. It can be bad where, you know, you get to some situations and instances where you feel like, hey, discipline is in fact necessary, and they err on the side of, yeah, we'll keep them out there. No need to hurt the product. Some other things that happen around the NFL as we speak about this matchup that the Texans are going to have. Justin Jefferson, obviously one of, if not the best wide receiver in the league, plays for the Minnesota Vikings. He said he is playing for sure, right? Obviously, he was dealing with that nagging injury, and we were kind of wondering if practice would happen. Well, he told media he's playing for sure, right? So I think the question then becomes, what level of Justin Jefferson does he have? And also, if there is some level of diminished Justin Jefferson, how much does that actually matter with his talents and his abilities?
Yeah, he had some hamstring issues last year that kind of lingered. This is a quad. If you watch the play, it didn't look like much. They called it just kind of like a really deep, almost like a really severe Charlie horse. That's what happened. He just kind of got kneed in the quad area, in the lower leg. But as I referenced last hour, my friends in the Minnesota media.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, that's right.
Sources. Yep. Luke Morrow's sources. Ooh. Confirming.
Hey, when I have to sit in this seat, I gotta bring something to the table. Seriously. So
you didn't bring any barbecue sauce?
No.
Okay.
No. Last time I brought cookies too. But anyways.
Oh, so I don't get cookies? Yeah. Wait, hold on. Well, I'm hurt by this revelation.
If we're peeling the curtain back, you kind of brought the cookies today, I guess that's a whole nother
story. Okay.
Uh-oh. But anyways, with Justin Jefferson, reportedly, this is a personal matchup for him with Stephon Diggs being on the other side because he replaced Diggs and he views that. I mean, they've played each other before, but this will be in Minnesota. They played in Buffalo a couple years ago. So my point in all this being Jefferson was not going to miss this game was what I was told. He wants to be out there and he wants to show out with Diggs on the other sideline.
Excited to see that. Although, again, that's a big challenge for the defense that already, is going to have their work cut out for them in some ways. Real quick before we go, George Kittle, Charvarius Ward of the Niners both did not practice yesterday. They're iffy for Sunday. The thing that I was pointing to is just like, hey, man, this Niners thing, it's looking like it's getting more difficult to keep this ball rolling as they are currently constituted. I mean, how much can they get done with the kind of talent loss that they're having over there?
And that's the problem when you pay these guys these big contracts at the top of your list that you suffer in the depth underneath. And so that's why last year they lost Deebo Samuel, and obviously that's a huge player to lose, but they lost three straight games without him and Trent Williams. And then this year, like Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk are not 100% to begin the year, and the Niners lose last week when they shouldn't have to the Vikings. And now you have these injuries, and it's like, well, we don't really have the guys to step up behind them because they have so much money committed to such a small part of the roster. This is the concern for the Niners. Like when you get these injuries, and they usually do, they don't have the talent to be able to replace those guys that maybe some other teams could do a little bit better.
Now, I mean, the Niners might not be in the world of hurt with that because they're going up against the Rams, who they might be the most injured team thus far in the NFL season thus far. But, yeah, I just found that interesting because the Niners are one of those teams that is clearly going to be a top of the league, one of those teams that people are looking at as Super Bowl contenders. And if they're not careful, they could drop some games here early just off the fact of not having health all on their side. But there you go. Around the NFL, which is supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Matt Burke was, he's your defensive coordinator for your Texans, as the coordinators talk every Thursday. He said something that I found to be interesting. Is he on to something with his theory on rookies adjusting quickly to the NFL? Let's talk about that next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.